unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That is Jesus' response to tragedy. An evil man massacres innocents as they worship. An evil man massacres innocents as they watch a movie. An evil man massacres innocents as they attend school. Do you think that any of these victims were worse sinners than you, that they should suffer in this way? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Our Lord also mentions a tower in Siloam that fell, killing 18. Do you think that they were worse offenders than others living in Jerusalem? He asks. Do you think that earthquake victims, tornado victims, tsunami victims are worse sinners than you, that they suffered in these ways? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Tragedies caused by evil human beings, tragedies caused by nature or by accident. According to Jesus, these are divine calls to repentance. Your life can be taken from you in the blink of an eye. Don't wait to be reconciled to God. Repent. We hear that word all the time, repent. But what does it mean to repent? How do I repent? After taking in the whole counsel of God's word, the church gives us this answer. Properly speaking, true repentance is nothing else than to have contrition and sorrow or terror on account of sin. And yet, at the same time, to believe the gospel and absolution, namely, that sin has been forgiven and grace has been obtained through Christ. And this faith will comfort the heart and again set it at rest. Amendment of life and the forsaking of sin should then follow. For these must be the fruits of repentance. As John says, bear fruit that is worthy of repentance. So how do I repent? To put it simply, repentance has two parts. The first part is to have sorrow and even terror on account of your sin. The second part is to be absolved and to believe that for Christ's sake you are forgiven by God. After these things, forsaking your sin and changing your life should follow. When our Lord Jesus calls us to repentance, He is calling us to be reconciled to God through Him. For there is no other way of salvation. There is no other name by which we can be saved. There is only Jesus. Jesus or hopelessness. Jesus or hell. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for the wrath of God remains on him. So says God's holy word. If our Lord causes you to sorrow for your sins, to experience terror on account of your sins, or on account of your death, or on account of the reality of hell, He is giving you the first part of repentance. The second part is when He absolves you, when He forgives you the iniquity of your sin and releases you from death and from hell. What you have done or left undone, He looses from you, unties it from you. Whatever is loosed on earth is also loosed in heaven. And if God himself has loosed you from your sins, untied you from your sins, if God himself is for you, then who can be against you? Our Lord Jesus desires that all people would repent, but his desire is for you individually. He may strike your conscience and use your own heart to bring you to repentance. He may fashion the tongue of your pastor into a dagger that pierces your heart. He may use the government, its laws and punishments to call you back into his arms. He uses personal calamity and even national tragedy to call you to repentance, to call you back to him. What more could he do? For unless you repent, you will die in your sins. Jesus doesn't want that. He wants you to be a repentant person and a fruitful tree. In fact, he tells a parable to this effect. He says, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And the vine dresser answered him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. Ever wonder why there's so much manure piling up around you? Ever wonder why you feel like there's someone digging at your roots? The vine dresser is at work. It is he who has interceded for you. And now it is he who is calling you to repentance, laboring to make you a tree that bears good fruit. In Jesus' parable, a fruitful tree is a repentant tree. A repentant tree is a person who trembles at God's law and rejoices in God's mercy. Lent is the season of repentance. Lent is the season to bear much fruit, to fear his wrath, and to love his forgiveness. Let our Lord's parable of the fig tree take your mind to another tree, the tree on which your Lord and Savior hung. What was the cross but a dead tree, a fruitless tree, a tree cut down? Yet this tree is slung over our Savior's shoulder as he carries it to Calvary. Upon him was laid the iniquity of us all. Upon him was laid the fruitless tree, the dead tree, the sinner, you. Bleeding from the crown of thorns that was beaten into his head, bleeding from his back that was torn to shreds by the iron-tipped whips, bleeding from his hands and from his feet, he stained that cross with his holy blood. And with this same holy blood, he now stains and covers you. The nails that held him to that cursed tree are the nails that hold him to you. And that cursed tree we now call blessed. The cursed sinner we call blessed too. Blessed are you, for your lawless deeds are forgiven and your sins are covered. In the name of Jesus, amen.